May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think it's probably safe to say that every generation has a moment that, while it might not define it, certainly stands out with stark clarity and potency. For one generation, it might be the bombing of Pearl Harbor. For another generation, it might be the assassination of Kennedy. And certainly for another generation, it was events that happened 10 years ago today. And I think for many of us, this day, which happens to actually fall on a Sunday of all days, marks for many of us a significant amount of emotion, of remembrance, of sadness. And perhaps for many of you, a day like today causes you to remember where you were and what you were doing 10 years ago, just as it did for many folks when they remembered what they were doing in 1969 or in 1941. For my part, I was in California. I was a youth minister. It was a Tuesday morning. The time difference between us and the East Coast meant that I was waking up. My alarm went off. And I remember, instead of hearing Jimi Hendrix or Led Zeppelin on my classic rock station, a news flash that a plane had hit the World Trade Center. But that was all they said. And so I thought, well, some idiot in a Cessna 150 clipped a wing or something like that. And to be honest, didn't give it much more thought until I got to work an hour later. And by that time, the first tower had fallen, and my day was completely different from there on out. So I can remember that morning as clear as if it was yesterday. And I suspect that for many of you, the events of 10 years ago are still very fresh and very stark. And these years later, many questions still remain. Much has happened. And I'm not for a moment going to entertain an opportunity to try to explain any of that, at least not this morning. But simply to recognize the significance of today. I also want to recognize that there is, I'm not going to say an irony, but a providence that our scripture readings today, which are straight out of the lectionary, I didn't choose or tweak them, have St. Paul writing to the church in Rome talking about freedom and talking about what it means to be in the Lord. And we have Jesus instructing his disciples with a parable on what it means to forgive. So let me just say a little bit about our gospel lesson from this morning in light of the significance of today. Jesus, last week, you may recall, instructed his followers on what to do, the process to follow if somebody in the church wrongs you. You go to them in private and so on and so forth and work it out. And then Peter comes back to Jesus and says, well, if somebody does wrong me, how many times should I forgive them? And he kind of tries to shoot for the approval moon by saying, as many as seven times? Wow, Peter. That's a lot. What he's hinting at is that there was a tradition in the first century, a rabbinical tradition, that said that you really only needed to forgive someone three times, and beyond that you weren't required to, and that if you forgave as many as seven times, that was phenomenal. So Peter is saying, okay, Lord, you're teaching us about forgiveness, and should I be as forgiving as to say if somebody wrongs me seven times to let them go, to forgive them up to that? And what's Jesus' response? He says, no, not seven, Peter, but 77 times. Or another way to translate it would be 70 times seven. In other words, those numbers represent fullness and perfection. The implication being, Peter, there is no limit. We're not putting, you can't set a number on this. I mean, imagine, if you will, in a marriage, that the seventh time The husband forgets to put the lid on the toilet seat down. That's it. We're done. I was fine until number six. Right? Now, I'm making light of the principle, but the fact, the implication of Jesus' teaching is starkly disturbing when he says that this is the extent, sort of numerically speaking, of the forgiveness that I'm calling you to. And were his teaching to have stopped there, I think it would have left us all a bit reeling. How can anybody do that? Doesn't that make light of the wrong that's been done to me? To say that I will be able and willing to forgive 70 times 7 ad infinitum? But let me say this. Did you catch the words in the first verse of the sequence hymn that we just sang? Forgive us our sins, Lord, is what you call us to do. But what was the second half of that verse? Do you remember? It said, Lord, you're the only one who can help us to do the things that we're saying. In other words, that we will forgive. And fortunately for us, Jesus' teaching on the matter didn't stop there. He said, because of the extent, the radical extent of forgiveness that I'm calling you to, the kingdom of heaven is like this. And he tells them a parable to explain this concept. And the parable paints for us a portrait of a ruler, a king, who has servants, and he settles accounts with them. And he finds one of the guys owes him 10,000 talents. Folks, that's a lot of money. Like, in to convert that to terms today, that's like millions of dollars, like literally. So imagine owing somebody literally millions of dollars. And he calls him before him in his presence and says, pay up, and I can't. So the Lord says, you know, you're going to have to go into a debtor's prison, that your family, your possessions are all going to go to auction to help pay off the debt. Knowing full well that there's no way this guy's entire household is even close to worth that amount of money. So what does he do? He does the only thing he can. He throws himself on his knees and says, have mercy on me, and I will pay you back. And in a moment of incredible graciousness, the Lord in the parable forgives him the debt. Not just says, okay, fine, have a payment plan on my desk first thing Monday morning at 7% interest. I'll make it 4%. No, he forgives the debt. The guy barely walks out of the room and sees another servant in the household, another slave who owes him, let's just say $5, 10 denarii. Not a lot of money. And he grabs him by the throat and says, pay me back. Pay up, you owe me. And the guy says, I can't. I don't have any money. And he has him thrown in jail. Well, at the end of the story, the Lord of the manor gets wind of what's happened and calls the guy back in and says, basically, how dare you? How could you do this? Knowing what I forgave you, you then in turn do this. Now the point of the story, the point of this parable that Jesus is making is that the call to forgive 70 times 7, the call that he places on us to be able and willing to forgive to that extent is primarily contingent upon our understanding of our own need for forgiveness. That this radical teaching that Jesus gives is grounded in the fact that we have to understand first and foremost how much in need of forgiving we are. And it's only in light of that then that Jesus hopes for us to see the need, the reality for us to then be able to forgive. And that's what we say in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses just as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And I think that whatever else may come to pass on this anniversary, I believe that it's always so very important to remember a couple things, not the least of which is our own condition of heart, our own need to understand what it means to be forgiven and to forgive. You know, as I was reading this week and preparing for today, I heard the story of a minister at Trinity Wall Street in New York, and as people were sort of seeking shelter in the church, as the dust and clouds were choking off people, he got up in front of them and said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And I think that Jesus is teaching this morning, tells us that as we look back on the last 10 years, we can see a phenomenal presence of heroism and sacrifice in the face of tragedy. And I know that we give thanks for that. And I know that we will continue to give thanks for that, for the amazing grace in the face of tragedy. But Jesus' words today tell us that what we need to be on guard against is that our hearts might not fall prey to fear or to anger or to hatred, but that we ourselves might come before the Lord with an understanding of our own need for forgiveness and to be loved and to be restored, because that's the only way that you and I will truly be able to forgive and to love and to be reconciled and to find even in this crazy, tragic world, some measure of peace, some measure of security, not in systems, but in God and in His sovereign power and grace.